Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of having the opportunity to hear the teachings of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the study of the Gospels. We ask now that you open our minds and our hearts as we strive to grow in understanding and in our discipleship of Christ. Amen. The parable of the soils. Of course, I couldn't resist having a bit of a gardening theme going on. Especially as I know that many of you here are very keen gardeners and very good gardeners. We're very fortunate, aren't we, to live in this lovely semi-rural area of Suffolk. And even if we don't have our own gardens, we can enjoy the beauty of other people's gardens as we pass by. But beautiful gardens don't come about purely by chance. They require a lot of planning, a lot of nurturing, dedication, hard work. The people that Jesus spoke to when he told this parable, of course, they wouldn't have had the faintest notion of what an English country garden might look like. Likewise, we might struggle to envisage the lot of the farmers back in Jesus' time. A climate, a land, a time very different from our own. But that's the wonderful thing about the parables, isn't it? Jesus used these timeless, everyday events, planting stuff, watching stuff grow, to help us grow in our understanding. You might want to have your Bibles open so that you can follow the passages that we'll be looking at. It was page 1005 of the Pew Bibles. We're looking at Mark chapter 4. There are three elements in this parable. We have the sower, the seed, and the soil. And Jesus, from verse 14, tells us what each of these elements means. First, he tells us that the farmer, or the sower, is one who sows the word of God. So this might be a preacher or a teacher, might be a missionary, might be a gospel tract, it might be the Spirit of God himself. But further on, the seed is the gospel of grace. The seed is the good news as it reaches the person. The seed is the good news that Jesus came into this world, died for sinners, rose again from the dead, and offers full and free salvation to everyone who will receive him into their heart and into their life. So all the seed is good seed. Each kernel holds the potential to produce good fruit, to produce a good crop. But in this parable, some of that seed produces a good crop and some of it doesn't. You see, the problem doesn't lie with the seed. The problem lies with the soil. The soil in this parable represents the heart and the mind of the person who hears the gospel. Everyone who hears the gospel hears it in a different way. Some revile it. Some reject it, some receive it. And today, as we study this parable, we have the opportunity to examine our own hearts and minds and to ask ourselves the question, does the seed, when sown in me, have the potential to produce fruit? And if not, what can I do about it? Well, I'm going to go back to our gardening theme. But first I want to remind you about the four characters that Peter introduced us to last week. They were Hilary, Edgar, Kevin and Diane. In case you weren't here last week or you'd like a reminder, I'll just recap for you a little bit. Peter spoke about their very different responses to the gospel, about their different attitudes towards Christianity. First of all, we have Hilary. Hillary had turned to Jesus when she needed healing. And she was healed, and it was fantastic. She was very enthusiastic for a while, but her euphoria didn't last for very long. She started to forget about it, and she ended up being a little bit embarrassed about her Christianity, so she just kind of moved on and got on with the rest of her life. She turned to Jesus now and again if she wanted something else from him, but most of the time she just wasn't there. Edgar, he thought Christianity was a total waste of time. It was worse than that. In fact, he hated Christianity. He thought if there was suffering in the world, there couldn't possibly be a good God. He just didn't want to know. Kevin enjoyed being a Christian, and he went to church every week. But beyond that, he wasn't really prepared to give it any time. He shied away from anything that might make him wear his faith on his sleeve. Finally, we have Di. Peter called her Di the disciple. Diane. She was really committed as a Christian. She prayed every day, she read her Bible, and she even went to a home group to learn more about it. And she openly spoke about her faith to anyone she happened to meet. She was quite comfortable doing that. The one thing Peter didn't tell us about these four characters is that they were all neighbours. They lived in a little row of terraced houses, and they each had a garden. Funnily enough, their attitudes towards gardening were much the same as their attitudes towards Christianity, so it's not difficult to guess what their gardens might look like, is it? Hillary doesn't spend a lot of time in her garden, but every now and again she gets really enthusiastic, and she goes out and buys beautiful blooming plants from her garden centre, and she jams them in the ground and really enjoys them for a while. The trouble is, Hillary has never bothered to dig over that ground. It's full of stones, it's rock hard, it's lacking any nutrients, and of course, because she can't plant the plants very deeply, they can't establish any roots. They bloom for a bit, and then they just die. They don't last very long. Edgar quite likes other people's gardens. He appreciates it when he sees a beautiful garden, but as for his own, he really can't see the point. All that hard work, he really can't be bothered with it. If he planted anything, it would just die anyway, because that's what plants do. So he's put concrete down. It's much easier. Kevin is really quite keen. He likes his garden to look good. He spends an hour in the garden every week. Once a year, he goes and digs over the ground and he puts some fertilizer on. He plants carefully selected annuals so that his garden looks really great. And it does. For a while, he's not so good with the perennials. So sometimes, if he hasn't put the annuals in on time or they're not very successful, sometimes his garden can end up looking a bit tatty. A bit bare. He would really like it if he had a good display of plants all year round, season after season, but it just doesn't happen. Kevin really rather envies Diane. Of course, her garden is really spectacular. It's a beautiful display of flowers, year after year, all year round. Plenty of shrubs and trees. Kevin's problem is he can't be doing with all the extra stuff that Diane does. He can't be doing with reading all the gardening books, watching Gardener's World. He's too busy. He does like to go out twice a week. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? And he works lots of overtime. He has to earn enough to pay off his BMW, and foreign holidays don't come cheap. So he reckons that 1 hour a week in the garden is enough, and it is enough. To keep it tidy and looking okay. But it's not enough to give him time to do any weeding. So by the end of the summer, a lot of weeds have come up and choked the plants that he put in at the beginning of the year. So apart from Diane, their gardens are all looking a bit of a mess. Now please don't think that anyone, least of all me, will be judging you and the state of your faith by the state of your garden. If that was the case, I'd be in real trouble. Of course not. It's just another way of telling the parable that Jesus told. Jesus wasn't giving a lesson on horticulture either. And I'm sure you can see the parallels between the four characters and the four illustrations that Jesus used in his parable. If you want to take a look at verse 15, Edgar, of course, is where the seed is sown along the path. As soon as he hears the word, Satan comes and takes it away. You see, Edgar's heart is hard. His mind is closed. He doesn't want to know. And because his heart is so hard, it's easy for Satan to come along and whisk those seeds away. They can't possibly germinate. If we take a look at verses 16 and 17, we read, "Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time." Hilary likes the idea of a beautiful garden, but there's no good soil there. Her plants couldn't take root. It's just like her faith. It was fantastic when she experienced Jesus' healing power, but because she'd never made any sort of a commitment, her faith had never had the chance to grow. Kevin, of course, relates to verse 18, the seed sown among thorns. Let's read it. "Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." The soil there isn't bad, but without a bit of work, a bit of weeding, a bit of gardening know-how, the weeds will always come up in the end and choke anything he planted. As for his faith, it's much the same. He's quite happy to give time to it on Sundays, but beyond that would be a bit of a step too far. So he can't grow closer to Jesus. He can't grow in his understanding because he's too busy. He's too easily tempted away by the things of the world that come up and choke his faith. Of course, I hardly need to tell you about Diane, Di the disciple. The work she's put into her garden over the years, especially with all the trees and shrubs, mean it's not too much of a chore, but she's done lots of groundwork. The results she gets from her garden is paralleled in the way that her life has gone. The work that she's put into it is paralleled in the way she studies her Bible and seeks to understand more about it at her home group. It's paralleled through her connections at church, where she helps to support some Christian charities. And importantly, she's also known locally as the person that people can go to if they need a hand or a listening ear. Her commitment to growing in her faith has enabled her to be less judgmental, more forgiving, more accepting, more loving. She's really grown as a person. Well, you might be thinking, well, bully for Diane, little Miss Perfect. Well, let me tell you, Diane wasn't perfect. And the most interesting thing about Diane is that she wasn't always like this. I'll briefly tell you something about her life. You see, she had throughout her life made quite a journey to get to the place she is now. When she was much, much younger, her head had been completely turned by a boy at college. She thought he was amazing. She fell head over heels in love, and nothing else mattered to her. She couldn't think about anything else except him. Well, of course, after a couple of years, all that fell apart. She was devastated. She knew she had to kind of change her life a bit and do something else, so she decided to go off travelling. She did. She visited the most exotic places in the world. She had a fantastic time. She lived under constant sunshine. But do you know what? She was never really happy. She drifted from here to there. She just experienced at that time a kind of rootlessness. Something was missing. She realised that, so she returned to the UK, went to the city and got herself a job. She was in the right place at the right time, got herself a good job, worked up the career ladder, and in the end she became really very successful. People looked at Diane and said, wow, haven't you made it? What a success. You've got everything you need. But you know, she still wasn't happy. There was still something missing. She didn't feel fulfilled in her life. Diane happily realized this. And she realized that the only way she could be truly fulfilled was to go back to her roots, to stop trying to conform to everyone else's idea of success. She decided to seek what it was that would really help her grow. So you see that Diane's life story also paralleled the parable. Diane had experienced each one of those scenarios that we've read about in the parable. But in the end, Diane had made the conscious choice to put down roots, to plant and nurture a beautiful garden. She'd made a conscious choice to grow in her faith and to nurture her understanding. Every one of us here today will be at a different stage on our Christian journey. I just want to ask you to imagine for a moment that that little row of terraced houses represents that Christian journey. And I want you to think about where you might have reached. Which of those gardens do you think you might be in? I'm sure all of us have been going up and down that road, spending time in perhaps each of those different gardens. But where are you now? And where would you like to be? While you consider that for a moment, I've got some news about our four characters. You see, Diane had reached such a peaceful and fulfilled place in her life that she wanted to share this with her neighbours. Since she'd chosen to commit herself to Christ, she wanted to see other people enjoy that too. So she started to invite her neighbours round on a pretty regular basis. Cups of coffee, the occasional meal. She had a garden party once. And she was never afraid to speak about her faith there. And the more she spoke about it, the more her neighbours started to ask questions. Kevin began to realise that his going to church once a week wasn't actually enough to answer all the questions that he had. And when Diane couldn't answer his questions either, he agreed that, yeah, perhaps it would be a good idea to go along to her home group with her. Hilary, well, she was fascinated that Diane prayed to God even when she didn't need anything. What was that about? So she asked Diane about it. And eventually, Hilary ended up visiting Diane twice a week where they prayed together, thanking God, praising him and praying for the needs of the world. Hilary bought a Bible and Kevin helped to teach her how to read it. Diane was like a spiritual gardener. She had helped Kevin and Hilary nurture their faith. She showed them how to feed their understanding and how they too could produce the kind of crop that Jesus spoke about in the parable. We have a look at verse 20 of the parable. Jesus said, "Others sown like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a good crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." So let's go back to the question we asked ourselves earlier. Does the seed, when sown in you, have the potential to produce a good crop? Could you perhaps use a little bit more feeding, a bit more nurturing, a bit more growth in understanding. Perhaps you could help to feed, nurture, and grow someone else's faith and understanding. Could we be gardeners for God? How deep are your roots? How does your garden grow? By the way, before I close in prayer, in case you were wondering what happened to poor old Edgar, well, I'm afraid he's still pretty much in the same place. His heart is really hard. But Diane, Kevin, and Hilary are all praying for him. They're praying that God will soften his heart enough for a tiny seed to start to germinate. And do you know what? A little tub of daffodils has appeared by his front door this spring, so there's hope for him yet. And if you know an Edgar, please do pray for that person, because God can and does soften the hardest of hearts. Let's pray. Father God, as we examine our hearts and minds, please help us to recognize our own spiritual needs. Help us to seek out ways in which we can grow in our understanding and knowledge of you, that we might come at the last to receive the salvation offered to all who accept the gospel of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.